إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah, we praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that he has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our 12th session, and 12th chapter from the book Ta'zim al-Salah by Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin al-Abbad al-Badr, hafidhahumullah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. The topic of our book is attaching great importance to the salah. Yani, recognizing and acknowledging the magnificence of this act of worship and its lofty status in the life of a Muslim. Yani, the exaltation and glorification that is involved in this tremendous act of worship that is being offered to Allah Al-Azim. Yani ta'zim as-salat, acknowledging and recognizing the importance of this act of worship that is being offered to Allah Al-Azim. The topic that we intend to talk about tonight bi-idhnillahi ta'ala is at-tuma'nina. Tuma'nina, yani having calmness, being relaxed, at ease during the salah, especially in the positions of the salah when you are moving from one position to another. Especially in the positions of salah when you are moving from one position to another, like ruku and sujood, and the rising up from ruku and the sitting up from sujood, especially in these places. But before we look at the topic that we're going to discuss tonight, we want to quickly review some of the points that we talked about last week in lecture number 11 from the questionnaire study guide number 11. The first question: memorize the hadith of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu showing the excellence of going to the masjid early for prayers. I'll start on the right, inshallah.
من صلى لله أربعين يوما في جماعة يدرك التكبيرة الأولى كتب له براءتان براءة من النار وبراءة من النفاق.
طيب جزاك الله خير أحسنت. What is the meaning of this hadith?
Whoever prays for Allah subhanahu wa
ta'ala. Whoever prays for Allah, يعني sincerely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
40 days.
In جماعة. In جماعة.
Now,
catching the first takbir, meaning being in the rank behind the imam before he makes the first takbir of the salat. Naam.
It will be written for him, him being free from two matters.
It will be written for him that he's free from two matters.
He will be free, safe from the fire.
Safe from the fire.
And he will be free from nifaq.
And he will be free and saved from an-nifaq, hypocrisy. Naam. This is a tremendous hadith. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open our hearts to accept it and to have the desire to act upon it. And may He give us the ability to do so. And the tawfiq is from Allah alone. The second question, what is meant by man salla lillahi? Yani whoever prays for Allah. What is meant by this? And what is meant by at-takbiratul ula, the first takbir? Man salla lillahi, Adam. What is meant by this? Okay, with no hypocrisy or showing off. Sincerely for Allah, naam. What else? Anybody else? Naam. Ikhlas, naam. What else? Anything else? Naam. Abdullah. Naam. Ikhlas min qalbihi. Yani sincerity, ikhlas from the heart. Without riyah and without sum'ah. Yani without doing it to be seen or doing it to be heard. Sincerely from the heart. Yani lillahi means khalisan min qalbihi. That this is sincerely, he's doing this purely for Allah alone. And that sincerity is coming from his heart. It's not coming from his limbs that he's showing something, or from his tongue that he's saying something. Rather, that is really the root of it, the source of it is from the heart. And that's important, that's critical. Because if it's not, then there's no real benefit. What is the meaning of takbiratul ula? What do we mean by takbiratul ula in this hadith? Now,
meaning being present in the ranks behind the imam before the takbir into consecration.
Okay, being present in the ranks before the first takbir of the imam. Now, or in other words, takbiratul ihram. The takbir that he's referring to by consecration, meaning the person enters the state of worship in which they shouldn't be saying or doing anything other than that act of worship. Yani that the person should what? Be present. For takbiratul ula means takbiratul ihram, the opening takbir of the salah. He should be present behind the imam before he makes this takbir. And the next question, question number 3, what is meant by bara'atun min an-nar and bara'atun min an-nifaq, yani being free from the fire and hypocrisy? What did the Shaykh say? What is meant by these two expressions? Being free from the fire means what? Naam. Gafadl. Now, back in the back. Now, Rashid.
Being saved from the hellfire.
Naam, being saved from the hellfire. That a person will be saved from the punishment of the hellfire. What does it mean by bara'atun min an-nifaq? Naam.
From the characteristics, being free of the characteristics of the
His father, meaning whose father?
The
Sheikh Abdul Razak's father.
Father.
Now, he says being free from the yani characteristics of the hypocrites. But with a little more clarity, yani naam. Naam. Naam, he mentioned them separately, yani in the dunya, that the person will be saved from doing the actions of the hypocrite. Yani Allah will protect them from doing the actions of the hypocrites. And in the next life, then he will be saved from the punishment that the hypocrite will be punished with. He will be saved from that punishment. Yani being saved from hypocrisy means that he's being saved from something in this world, the actions of hypocrisy or the characteristics of hypocrisy. And being saved also in the next life means being saved from the punishment of the hypocrites. Question number 4, is the objective achieved, I mean the objective that in this hadith, is this objective achieved by catching the first takbir for these 40 days only, then relaxing after that? And this is a very important point, because some people imagine that if I can just get those 40 days and I'm good, and that's the end of it. Is this what is intended? No. 40 days is the transformation period. From one condition to another condition. Anybody want to add to that? Now. Hold it, inshallah. Just on this point, what is intended by this? Yani, it's not intended that a person pray 40 prayers or 40 days in the masjid, in the jama'ah, catching the first takbir alone, and then after that go about their business, but rather, the meaning of it is that
catching these 40 days, catching the salah on time with the imam, you will start to enjoy it.
Naam, the person who does this, who sticks to, yani mulazimat, yani who sticks to this practice for this period of time, it is expected then, generally speaking, that this will cause the person to what? Begin to enjoy the ibadah, this ibadah. They will begin to enjoy it, and they will begin to taste the sweetness of this ibadah, of doing this thing in this manner. And this would cause them to be relieved from the difficulty, the hardship, the weight of trying to get to the masjid every day for every prayer before the first takbir. That's a weighty matter. But the person who does it continuously, and they begin to enjoy this worship and taste the sweetness of it, ذَهَبَ عَنْهُ التَّكَلُّفِ. And this weightiness of the matter would be removed from him. And as a result of this, he would achieve, the Shaykh said, he would achieve يعني الاستقامة and المداومة. الاستقامة, he would become upright upon this matter, and he would be consistent in doing so. This is what is intended, that a person be continuous, be regular in doing so, so that they change, they transform themselves from one condition to another condition, in which it becomes easy for them to do so. And they enjoy doing it, and they will do it for the rest of their life, not for 40 days. Because the person wants to be saved from the hellfire, he can't just do some good deeds for 40 days, and after that do what you want to do. Rather, you have to worship Allah every day, all the time, until Allah takes us out of here. And Allah said that in the Quran, right? What's the ayah in the Quran where this meaning came? فَعَبُدُ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. Yani worship your Lord until al-yaqeen comes to you. What is al-yaqeen? Al-maut. Now, it means certainty, but what is intended by it is death. Until death comes to you. Naam. After this, is the hadith the brother wanted to mention. Memorize the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, pointing to the significance of 40 days as a period of transformation. Who was saying that? Who was getting ready to say that hadith to me back here? Somebody said a hadith. Yeah, Musa, what is the hadith? The person, the creation of the human being is in the womb of their mother, being formulated for 40 days. Naam. And then? And then it will be as a alaqa. What is the alaqa, somebody? Clot of blood for 40 days. Uh-huh. And then mulga? Mudga. Uh-huh. For 40 days. Yani, each stage is like, is in 40 days, transforming from one condition to another, and then after that, what? Huh? Naam. Yunfaqu fihi ar-ruh. Then the spirit, yani of life, is given to the fetus in the womb. Question number 6. Mention the magnificent achievement of Al-A'mash. Rahimahullah, mentioned by Waqiyah ibn al-Jarrah, rahimahullah. What was this amazing achievement that Waqiyah mentioned about the great scholar of Hadith al-A'mash? What did he say about him? Naam, nobody over here? Naam, Adam. He never missed the first takbir for 70 years. What else did he say? Ya Abdullah. And he said, I never saw him making up a raka'ah. Yani Waqiyah said, I never saw him making up a raka'ah. What does that mean? And he was always on time for the salah. He never missed a raka'ah. For how many years? Allahumma musta'an. Subhanallah. Naam. Rahimahullah. Discuss the two descriptions mentioned in the amazing achievement of Sayyid ibn Musayyib. Rahimahullah. Two. One. Naam. ما فاتتني
تكبيرة الأولى منذ 50 سنة.
That the تكبيرة الأولى, the first تكبير, I didn't miss it for 50 years. And the second thing,
وما نظرت إلى قفا رجل
مضاف إليه. نعم. And I didn't what? I didn't look at the neck of any person في الصلاة, in prayer, since 50 years. What does he mean by it? He didn't look at the neck of anyone in salah.
No,
I mean, he was always in the first row. He was never in the second or third or fourth or last row looking at anyone's neck. Now, no, that was a different person. That was another person. He said he only missed one salat in. That was the day that his mother passed. He missed one salat. And he, in that one, and that day, one of them only. Naam. Question number 8. Discuss the incident related to this subject experienced by Sheikh Abdul Razak with his father's father. Yani, what was the incident that Sheikh Abdul Razak mentions about his grandfather? Naam. No? Father.
Mr. Atani used to get to the masjid before the adhan al-asr, and he would stay there until after Isha, and likewise he would do the same for Fajr and Zuhr.
Yani his grandfather had great care concerning the takbiratul ula, to the extent he was so concerned about it that he said, since we knew him, yani Shaykh Abdul Razak is talking about his father, since we knew him, we knew that he always used to enter the masjid for the Asr prayer before the adhan, not the Iqamah, before the adhan. And when he prayed Isha, he came out of the masjid, meaning he stayed in the masjid from Asr to Maghrib to Isha. And he did the same thing for Fajr, he used to enter the masjid before the adhan, and Dhuhr, he used to enter the masjid before the adhan. This man, his grandfather, Rahimahullah, he said what? One day? Stop there. Yani the Shaykh Abdul Razak says that one day he was in the masjid, and some students of knowledge were asking his father, Shaykh Abdul Muhsin, Hafidhullah, was asking him about this hadith under discussion tonight, or last week. Yani, is it authentic? And he was saying, yes, it's authentic. And one of them said, وَمَنْ يَسْتَطِيعُ ذَلِكَ. Who can do that? Yani, who can catch every prayer from the first takbir, every prayer, every day for 40 days? Who's able to do this? That was the yani, question of doubt, that anybody can do such a thing. And what happened after that?
Now,
when his father left the majlis, that sitting and went out of the masjid, Shaykh Abdul Razak said, his grandfather, he said, I was walking with him, and he kept repeating that statement of a student of knowledge. وَمَنْ يَسْتَطِيعُ ذَلِكَ. Yani, who can do this? He was repeating that, yani, out of amazement that this kind of statement can come from a talib al-ilm. Yani he was keep saying, may yastatiru dhari, who can do that? Allahu Akbar. Yani what? Ta'ajjub. Amazed that a student of knowledge can say such a thing. And some of us perhaps, may Allah yani help us, we might feel the same way. Who can do such a thing? Yani whoever has a desire to do it, sincerely for the sake of Allah, they can do it. Because whoever wants to do good, as we mentioned last week, they should eagerly seek it. Ihras ala ma yanfa'uka. And seek help from Allah. وَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ وَلَا تَعْجِزْ. And don't feel that you can not do it, that you're incapable. Whoever wants to do khair sincerely from their heart, and they make the effort to do it and ask Allah's help, of course they can do it. Why not? Allah has power over everything. That's easy for Allah. And the person who doesn't have any money and doesn't have good health and doesn't have any means of transportation, if they sincerely want to make hajj, Allah can make it for them, can make that happen. That's not difficult for Allah. But the person has to be sincere. And then they have to make some effort. And then if Allah wills, He can make it easy for them. If He wills. And if He doesn't, the person who has a sincere desire to do it, Allah will reward them for their sincere intention. And coming to near the end, discuss the permissibility of rushing a little to catch at takbiratul ula, the first takbir. Discuss the permissibility, yani what some of the scholars have said concerning the permissibility of rushing a little to catch the first takbir. Now, Saif. Wa alaykum as-salam.
Well, as you have an idea, so you're not supposed to rush for the salah, but in the case of the takbir ula, if you hear the adhan and you know you can catch the takbir, then you are exempt. You can.
There's no harm in a person rushing a little bit, not going too far with it, if they have hope that they can catch takbiratul ula, the first takbir. If the person has a hope that they can catch it, then there's no harm in rushing a little bit. If they think that they might miss it by walking at their normal pace, then there's no harm, inshallah, in rushing a little bit. And some of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ have been narrated to have done so when they feared that they might miss the first takbir. They used to rush a little bit when they had hoped that they could still catch it. And the last question, discuss the dalil, proof for this view from the action and clarification of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. Naam.
The young man seen one night, he seen Abdullah ibn Mas'ud
One night he saw Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu
rushing for the prayer.
Rushing to the prayer.
And he was amazed by this because he said, Ya Abdurrahman.
Abba Abdurrahman.
He said, you prohibited us from doing
it. You used to prohibit us from rushing to the prayer.
And now I see you this night, you rushing to the prayer.
And now I see you this night rushing to the prayer. What did Abdullah Mas'ud radiallahu anhu say to him?
He said, I'm only doing it because I had the intention to catch the first.
I'm only doing it. I hastened, I rushed a little bit in order to what? Catch the first takbir. Naam, Abdullah. Badartu. Hadda salat. Now he said, indeed, verily, I had only rushed in order to reach the hadda salat, meaning what? The beginning of the salat. The beginning of the salat. Takbiratul ula. Naam. So these are some of the points that we covered last week, and tonight, inshallah, we'd like to deal with another topic of great importance that I hope, inshallah, certainly should be of those things that will help us to improve our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and bring us nearer to Him and improve our condition and put us in a better condition to stand before Him on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Keeping in mind, as some of the scholars have mentioned, that every human being has two great, tremendous standings. One of them is in this dunya and one of them is in the akhirah. The first of them is the standing in salat every day, and the second of them is the day of accounting, standing before Allah for accounting. So whoever does well in this standing before Allah, inshallah, will be made easy for them on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And whoever is careless and reckless and doesn't show any concern for the standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every day in the salat, in every prayer, whoever doesn't show concern about this, they will have great difficulty in that standing on Yawm al-Qiyamah. It is incumbent upon us to try to do better, and the purpose of these discussions and the reviewing of these evidences and the sayings of the scholars and the example of the Salaf al-Salih is for us to open a place in our heart to try to change ourselves to become better, to get closer, to become nearer. And the topic tonight is tuma'anina, yani calmness in the salat. Indeed, it is of the utmost importance. And I would like to say that if you have been monitoring yourself, hopefully this week, this past week, you did better than the week before, and the weeks before, the months before. Inshallah, you did better in what? In catching, in reaching the masjid early from the beginning of it, from the first takbir, takbiratul ula. We hope we did better, and we hope, inshallah, that after this topic tonight, that we will do better in this matter. Tuma'anina fi salat. Indeed, most of the people, as Imam Ahmed rahimahullah said, in his time, what about in our time? Most of the people, they didn't have tuma'anina in the salat. What about in this time? Does anybody have it? If you are of those who have it, indeed it is a ni'mah from Allah and a rahmah, and you have to show gratitude by appreciating and recognizing the favors of Allah upon you and doing all that you can to protect and preserve them. Show gratitude so that you will not lose the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The topic tonight is tuma'anina fi salat, yani calmness or serenity, being at rest in the positions of prayer, not being hasty, not racing through the salat, such that more than one time a person complained to me. One day in the masjid near my house, the person asked me to lead the prayer, and after the prayer, and one Arabic speaking person, he was telling the brother who's responsible for the masjid, say something to him. And the guy responsible for the masjid was saying, no, you say it to him. And then he was saying, like, how can I? He said, he speaks Arabic, say it to him in Arabic. And then he came and told me that what I was doing in the prayer was causing people to go ahead of me in the prayer. I was following the sunnah. I told him, if following the sunnah caused people to go ahead of somebody in the prayer, then we should abandon the sunnah. Rather, we should educate the people and they should pray the way you're supposed to pray. The people have a habit, it is the custom of the people today, to go ahead of the imam. Everybody is in a hurry. Everybody is in a hurry because they go into ruku and they want to get out of it quickly. They stand up from ruku and they want to make sajda quickly. Everybody is in a hurry. It's like a race. The salat is not a race. Once you say the takbir of opening the salat, be calm, be easy. You're standing in front of your Rabb. Where are you racing to? As Imam Ahmed said, every one of those people who are racing ahead of the imam, they can't leave the salat until the imam is finished anyway. So what are you racing to? The Shaykh, he says, إِنَّ مِنَ الْأَخْطَاءِ الْعَظِيمَةِ الَّتِي يَقَعَ فِيهَا بَعْدُ الْمُصَلِّينَ تَرْكَ التُمَأْنِينَ فِي الصَّلَاةِ. That indeed, from amongst the great, terrible mistakes that some of the people who pray fall into, yani regularly, is the abandonment of tuma'nina, yani calmness in the salah. وقد عد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فعل ذلك من أسوأ الناس سرقة. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم considered, he counted and considered the person who does this action of abandoning calmness in the prayer, he considered them to be from the most evil and foul of the people in theft, in stealing. The most evil type of theft. As it has been confirmed in the Musnad of Al-Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, on the authority of Abu Qatada radiyallahu anhu, عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال أسوأ الناس سرقة الذي يسرق من صلاته. Yani the most evil of the people in theft is the one who steals from his salah. Ajib. Huh? The one who steals from his own salah. قالوا يا رسول الله وكيف يسرق من صلاته. O Messenger of Allah, how does a person steal from his own salah? قال لا يتم ركوعها ولا سجودها. And he doesn't complete and protect its bowing, the bowing in that salah, and its prostration, the prostration in that salah. He doesn't complete it, he doesn't perfect it. So this is what? This is considered as stealing. It's not the stealing that we normally think of, right? When you think about somebody stealing, you think somebody stole somebody's car, stole somebody's money, stole somebody's something, right? But here we're talking about something that's more severe than that, that's worse and more evil than that. Stealing from your salah. By not giving its rights. And the Prophet ﷺ said in another hadith that we mentioned some time back, that the salah is divided into three parts. At-tuhur thuluthun. والركوع ثلثٌ والسجود ثلثٌ. That the purification and preparation for prayer is one third of the prayer, and the bowing is one third of the prayer, and the prostration is one third of the prayer. فمن أداها بحقها قبلت منه وقبل منه سائر عمله. So whoever fulfills the rights of that prayer, especially in ركوع and سجود and تهور and طهارة, whoever fulfills it like it's supposed to be, then his prayer will be accepted from him, and as a consequence of that, the rest of his deeds will also be accepted from him. That's how important it is to fulfill the rights of the prayer. وَمَنْ رُدَّتْ عَلَيْهِ صَلَاتُهُ رُدَّ عَلَيْهِ سَعِرْ عَمْلِهِ. And whoever's salah is rejected, given back to him, it's rejected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the rest of his deeds consequently will also be rejected. This is serious. This is very serious. How does your prayer be rejected? One of the ways it will be rejected is that you don't perform the ruku and the sujood with its proper rights. That you don't, yani, be calm in the positions of prayer. But rather you hastily rush through the salat. This will cause your salat to be rejected. And as the Prophet ﷺ said in another hadith about a man who prayed for 60 years, إِنَّ الْعَبْدِ لَيُصَلِّ سِتِّينَ سَنَةً وَمَا تُقْبَلُ لَهُ صَلَاتٌ. And not one of his prayers was accepted. Not even one in 60 years. Because perhaps he has completed the ruku, لَعَلُّهُ يُتِمُّ الرُّكُوْ وَلَا يُتِمُّ السُّجُودِ. Perhaps he has completed and perfected the ruku, but not the sujood, or the opposite. He completed the sujood and not the ruku. This is critical for us. This is very critical. This topic is critical. Your salat is rejected, and the rest of your deeds will also, as a consequence, be rejected, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. The Shaykh, he says here, after mentioning this hadith about the worst type of theft, for those who steal from their prayer, that is, by not completing and perfecting their bowing and their prostration. So he, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and in some of the narrations said, and khushu', and also the khushu', yani in the prayer, the submissiveness, yani the humility, being humble and submissive in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said he counted this, salawatullah wa salamu alayhi, as a stealing, a type of stealing. Not completing the ruku' and sujood is a type of stealing from the salat, and it is the most evil and the most severe. It is more evil and more severe than stealing from someone's wealth. The Shaykh, he here mentions another hadith after saying that indeed, at-tuma'nina, indeed this state of calmness in the salat is a rukun, an essential pillar from the pillars of salat. لا تصح الصلاة بدونها. And the salah is not valid without it. يعني تمأنينة in the salah is a rukn. A rukn we talked about weeks ago. A rukn is those things in the salah that is essential. Without it, the act is invalid. You can't even make up for it. خلاص, if you don't have it, your worship is invalid. Your salah is invalid. And the Shaykh is saying that indeed tumanina, and this is a matter in fiqh that there's some difference of opinion. The Hanafi scholars hold that it is not. That it is not obligatory tumanina in the salah. But one of the Hanafi scholars, one of the students of Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, Abu Yusuf, Imam Abu Yusuf, he says, no, it is. It is obligatory. Tumanina in salah is obligatory. The Shaykh is saying that the majority of the scholars hold the view that tumanina, calmness in the salah, is a rukn from the arkan of salat, and the salat is not valid without it. Understand what this means. The salat is not valid without it. That means if you don't give care to this, your salat is not valid. I mean, this is serious. This is very serious. This should be frightening to a person. A person should be frightened at this point, hearing such a thing. And maybe we don't even know if we have tuma'anin in salat, because we don't even pay attention to our salat. I don't mean we here, I mean the Muslims in general. Indeed, the Prophet ﷺ said to the person who performed his prayer poorly, al-musif fi salatihi, he said to him, إِذَا قُمْتَ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ فَكَبِّرْ ثُمَّ اقْرَأْ مَا تَيَسَّرَ مَعَكَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ ثُمَّ ارْكَعْ حَتَّى تَطْمَئِنَّ رَاكِعًا ثُمَّ ارْفَعْ حَتَّى تَعْدِلَ أَوْ تَعْتَدِلَ in the narration of Bukhari, حَتَّى تَعْتَدِلَ قَائِمًا ثُمَّ اسْجُدْ حتى تطمئن ساجدا ثم رفع حتى تطمئن جالسا وافعل ذلك. And some of the narrators said, ثم افعل ذلك في صلاتك كلها. He said to the man who performed his prayer poorly, if you stand up for salat, then say Allahu Akbar, يعني تكبيرته إحرام. Then read from the Quran, يعني whatever is easy for you to read from the Quran. Then bow until, يعني go into the bowing position, until you find yourself at ease, with complete ease and calmness, tuma'anina, in the position of ruku. And then rise up, until you rise up straight in the standing position. And then prostrate, until you are in a state of calmness, tuma'anina, in the, as a prostrating person. And then rise up, yani from the first prostration until you are in a state of calmness in the sitting position. And do this in the whole of your salah. Yani calmness, calmness, easy, take it easy. Where are we rushing to? The Shaykh says, the scholars, the Ahlul Ilm, they have taken from this hadith the ruling that whoever doesn't straighten up his back in ruku and sujood, and he means here, when you rise up from ruku to the standing position, and when you sit up from sujood to the sitting position, whoever doesn't straighten their back, then فَإِنَّ صَلَاتَهُ غَيْرُ مُجْزِئَةٌ, then his salat is not giving credit, يعني as having fulfilled the obligation of prayer. يعني it's not valid, it's not accepted. وَعَلَيْهِ إِعَادَتُهَا, and it is obligatory upon him to repeat the prayer, to pray all over again. And why is he repeating it? Because it's invalid. And this is as he, the Prophet ﷺ, said to the man who performed his prayer poorly. He said to him, إِرْجِي فَصَلِّ فَإِنَّكَ لَمْ تُصَلِّ, go back and pray. فَإِنَّكَ لَمْ تُصَلِّ, indeed you have not prayed. He told the man, go back and pray, for you haven't prayed. And the man went back and prayed, and he came back and he told him, go back and pray, for you haven't prayed. And after the third time, the man said, by Allah, by the one who sent you with the truth, I can't do it any better than this. Teach me. Teach me how to pray. And that's when the Prophet ﷺ told him what? When you stand up for prayer, say takbir, then recite whatever is easy from the Quran, then bow, and remain bowing until you are in a calm position. And then rise up and so on to the end of the hadith. Indeed, there is no salat for the one who doesn't straighten his back in ruku and sujood. In the sunnah, there have been reported many hadith, very, very many hadith, concerning the command for iqamat al-salat wa itmamiha, yani the establishment of the salat and its perfection, wa tahdhir min tark at-tuma'anina fiha, aw al-ikhlal bi arkaniha wa wajibatiha. And from these hadith also came the warning from abandoning calmness in the prayer and from violating, yani, causing a defect to be in the arkan, the pillars of the prayer and the wajibat of the prayer. And from amongst those evidences or those hadith that came in the sunnah other than what we have already mentioned is that which is reported by al-Bukhari and Muslim on the authority of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, atimmu ar-ruku'a was-sujood. Complete and perfect your bowing and your prostration. Wal-itmam innama yakunu bituma'anina. And the completion or perfection of the bowing and prostration, it is by this observing calmness. By observing calmness. وَمِنَ الْأَدِلَّةِ And also from the evidences that was reported by Imam Ahmed and Ibn Majah, بِسَنِدٍ صَحِيٍّ with an authentic isnad from Ali ibn Shayban radiallahu anhu. He said, صَلَّيْنَا خَلْفَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَلَمَحَ بِمُؤْخِرِ أو مُؤَخِّرَ the spelling here, I mean the printing here, the Shaykh has printed it, I don't know, with this spelling, بِمُؤَخِّرِ عَيْنِهِ يعني, we prayed behind the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, then he noticed from the back or the corner of his eye, رَجُلًا لَا يُقِيمُ صَلَاتَهُ يعني صُلْبَهُ فِي الرُّكُوع وَالسُّجُودِ He noticed a man who was not straightening up his back. يعني he wasn't يُقِيمُ صَلَاتَهُ meaning, he wasn't straightening his back in the bowing position and in the prostration. فَلَمَّا قَضَى النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ الصَّلَاةِ قَالَ يَا مَعْشَرَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ لَا صَلَاةَ لِمَنْ لَا يُقِيمُ صُلْبَهُ فِي الرُّكُوعِ وَالسُّجُودِ يعني there's no salat. لا salat. There's no salat for the one who doesn't straighten up his back. لَا يُقِيمُ صُلْبَهُ فِي الرُّكُوعِ وَالسُّجُودِ يعني when he rises up from ruku and sujood. أي لا يسوي ظهره عقب الركوع والسجود. يعني he doesn't straighten up his back after, يعني at the end of the ركوع and the sujood. فالحديث دليل على ركنية القومة والجلسة وطمأنينة فيهما. So this hadith is an evidence. And there are other hadith that follow that are more clear than this hadith as the evidence of this point that the Shaykh is making. And we will see those hadith as we go through this. He said that this hadith, and more clearly as I said, other hadith that he mentions, is an evidence that al-qawma, that is the qiyam, standing position after ruku, that standing position, and al-jilsa, yani the sittings, when you are prostrating and getting up from prostration, and observing calmness in them, is a rukun, an essential pillar of the salah. And another evidence of this is that was reported by Abu Ya'la in his Musnad, on the authority of Abu Abdullah al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu. Shaykh al-Albani said that this narration is Hasan in Sahih al-Jami'ah. Yani Abu Ya'la in his Musnad with an isnad that is Hasan, he said, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ra'a rajulan la yutimmu ruku'ahu wa yankuru fi sujudihi wa huwa yusalli. Yani the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw a man who wasn't completing and perfecting, لا يتم ركوعه. He wasn't completing or perfecting his bowing, and he was pecking in sujood, meaning going up and down quickly, like a bird pecks, or a chicken, or a rooster, or something. He was pecking, going up and down quickly, and he was praying. And the Prophet ﷺ said, لو مات هذا على ما هو عليه, or in some of the narrations, على حاله هذه. لو مات هذا على ما هو عليه لَمَاتَ عَلَى غَيْرِ مِلَّةِ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يعني if this man died in this condition that he is upon, praying like this, he would have died on other than the millah of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. يعني he would not have died as a Muslim. وَهَذَا تَحَدِيدٌ شَدِيدٌ from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم saying this. If this man dies in this condition, he would not have died upon Islam. Because this prayer is unacceptable. This prayer is not acceptable. This is serious. The Shaykh says, وَهَذَا تَحْدِيد شَدِيدٌ يُخْشَى عَلَى فَعْلِ ذَلِكَ مِنْ سُوءِ الْخَاتِمَةِ بِأَنْ يَمُوتَ عَلَى غَيْرِ الْمِلَّةِ وَعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ And he said that this is a severe threat. It is feared for the person who does this that he will have an evil ending. And that he would die on other than the millah of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, other than Islam. And we seek refuge in Allah from such. And also from the evidences of this, any serious clear evidences from the Prophet ﷺ and from his companions. وَرَوَى أَحْمِدْ يعني الإمام أحمد رحمه الله and other than him from أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه قال أمرني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بثلاث ونهاني عن ثلاث يعني that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has commanded me with three things and he has also prohibited me from three things. And he goes on to mention the part of the hadith that is يعني important to our topic. ونهاني عن نقرة كنقرة الديق يعني he prohibited me from pecking like the pecking of a rooster. وَإِقْعَاعٍ كَإِقْعَاعِ الْكَلْبِ and from a sitting, a type of sitting that is the sitting of a dog, the way a dog sits with the legs, the legs and the shank and the thighs propped up, leaning on, sitting on your butt with your hands beside it, the way a dog sits up. وَالْإِلْتِفَاتٍ كَإِلْتِفَاتِ الثَّعَلِبِ and looking around, looking back and forth the way a fox does. Yani the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم prohibited these kind of actions that are resembling the actions of animals while a person is in this noble position, this noble act of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani going up and down like a pecking of a bird, yani sitting like the sitting of a dog, and turning around in the salat, looking up and down, looking around, like your mind is not on what you are doing. Shaykh al-Albani said that this hadith is hasan and sahih al-targhib. And also from the evidences is that which is reported by al-Bukhari in his sahih, أن هذيفة ابن يلمان رضي الله عنهما may Allah be pleased with him and his father رأى رجلا لا يتم ركوعه ولا سجوده يعني that هذيفة رضي الله عنه saw a man that was not completing and perfecting his bowing nor his prostration he wasn't doing it properly فلما قضى صلاته قال له هذيفة رضي الله عنه so when he finished that man finished his salat هذيفة said to him ما صليت يعني you haven't prayed ما صليت قال the narrator said وأحسبه قال لو مت على غير سنة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وفي رواية لو مت على غير الفطرة التي فطر الله محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم عليها يعني he said that I believe he said if you were to die you would have died on other than the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In a narration, if you were to die, you would have died on other than the fitrah, the natural state which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam upon it. Yani al-Islam, the deen of Islam. And in another narration, reported by Imam Ahmad and others from Talq ibn Ali radiallahu anhu. Yani if these evidences are not enough to make a person become concerned, then I don't know what is. Every one of us has to ask oneself and whoever you're responsible for from your family and your children and those who are close to you what is our condition in reference to this matter what is our condition if we are in need to correct ourselves it is incumbent upon us without hesitation without delay not next week or next month or when we get old or when we come back from Hajj rather immediately right now today make a resolve firm resolve in our hearts that we're going to do better. The narration of Talq ibn Ali radiallahu anhu qala qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam la yanzuru Allah azza wa jalla ila salati abdin la yuqimu fiha sulbahu bayna ruku'iha wa sujudiha. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not even look at the salat of a person who doesn't perform their ruku and who doesn't straighten up their back, who doesn't straighten up, la yuqimu fiha sulbahu, who doesn't straighten up his back between the ruku and the sujood. Yani meaning when the person stands up from ruku, before they go to sujood, they have to stand up straight. Establish the uprightness of their whole body calmly before going to prostration. And Shaykh al-Albani said that this hadith is jayyid, the isnad is jayyid. And he mentioned it al-silsal al-hadith al-sahiha. And also the Shaykh says that al-Imam Muslim narrates in his sahih from Aisha radiallahu anha, قالت كان أي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا رفع رأسه من الركوع لم يسجد حتى يستوي قائما. That the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم كان. This is what he used to do all the time. Not this is one incident. She's saying كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا رفع رأسه من الركوع لم يسجد حتى يستوي قائما. When he used to raise his head up from ركوع, he did not prostrate until he stood up completely straight. Straighten his back completely, standing up straight in the standing position. وَكَانَ إِذَا رَفَى رَأْسُهُ مِنَ السَّجْدَةِ And when he used to raise his head from prostration, لَمْ يَسْجُدْ حَتَّى يَسْتَوِيَ jalisan. And he didn't. When he used to rise up from the prostration to the sitting position in between two prostrations, he wouldn't prostrate again until he sat up straight and his back was upright. Not like some people do, they prostrate and they come halfway up and go right back down. They never even sat up. Where's the tuma'nina? Where's the yani straightening of the back? Reported by Al-Imam Muslim from Aisha radiallahu anha. And the Shaykh, he says, after this, that indeed, after these evidences, indeed, the hadith which entail the command to guard and to protect and to preserve the establishment, the proper performance of ruku and sujood, and the raising up from the ruku and the sujood, those are hadith which point to and indicate, or they point to, which point to this matter, yani the necessity of establishing the ruku and the sujood and the rising up from them, indicate that these are from the arkan, yani the essential pillars of the salat, which the salat is not valid without it. These hadith, he said, are many. And they are preserved in the books of the Sunnah, like Al-Bukhari and Muslim, and the four Sunan, yani Abu Dawud and Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah and Nasa'i, and other than them. Yani they are found spread throughout in all the books of the Sunnah. And we have already mentioned, yani many of those narrations, a group of them. So what is obligatory upon every Muslim is to guard, to protect, and to preserve this in his salat with perfect preservation. So he must complete and perfect his bowing and the rising from it, and his prostration and the rising from it. And he must perform these things with ala at-tamam wal-kamal, yani with completion and perfection in the whole of his salat, from the beginning of it to the end of it, in the way that will be pleasing to his Rabb, or her Rabb, to our Rabb, Allah subhanahu tabaraka wa ta'ala. Must do it in a way that's pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Acting upon the guidance, yani do so in acting upon the guidance of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and holding tight to his sunnah, the one sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who said, sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli, who commanded us, pray as you have seen me praying. And the Shaykh he says, وَمِنَ الْعَجَبْ أَنْ يَكُونَ الرَّجُلُ فِي مَنْزِلِهِ فَيَسْمَعُ الْعَذَانِ فَيُقُومُ فَزِعًا يَتَحَيَّ وَيَخْرُجْ مِنْ مَنْزِلِهِ يُرِيدُ الصَّلَاةِ وَلَا يُرِيدُ غَيْرَهَا. Yani, he gives a long description here. And for the sake of time, yani, he's quoting here from Al-Imam Ahmed, in his book of Salat. He said, it is amazing, something amazing, that a man, yani a person, he said a man, but it means a person, and especially the men, because the men are obligated to go to the masjid for Salat and Jama'ah, that a man will be in his house, and he will hear the adhan, and he will get up hastily, anxiously, and prepare himself, and go out of his house with the intention of the Salat. And he doesn't have any other intention other than the salah. And then perhaps he will go out in a night in which it is raining and it is dark, and he will stumble through the mud, and he will wade through the water, and his clothing will become wet. And if it is in the nights of the summer, Imam Ahmed is saying, in the nights of the summer, maybe not in Brooklyn, but there's criminals out there in Brooklyn, but he said, he will not be safe from scorpions and reptiles in the darkness of the night because there's no street lights. All of that he's going through. وَلَعَلُّ مَا هَذَا يَكُونُ مَرِيضًا ضَعِيفًا. And perhaps he's even, maybe he's sick and he's weak. This is the condition of a person doing all of this to go to the masjid for salat. And nothing called him to called him to go out to the masjid and for him to bear all of this, except his preference for the salat, and his love for the salat, and his intention to go to the salat. And he didn't go out of his house for anything other than the salat. And after all that, فَإِذَا دَخَلَ مَعَ الْإِمَامِ فِي الصَّلَاةِ خَضَعُهُ الشَّيْطَانِ فَيُسَابِكَ الْإِمَامِ فِي الرُّكُوعِ وَالسُّجُودِ وَالرَّفْعِ وَالْخَفْضِ خَضَعًا مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ لَهُ لِمَا يُرِيدُ مِنْ أَبْطَالِ صَلَاتِهِ وَإِحْبَاطِ عَمَلِهِ فَيَخْرُجُ مِنَ الْمَسْجِدِ وَلَا صَلَاةَ لَهُ. الله أكبر. Huh? After all that, he enters the masjid with the imam, joins the salat, and he is deceived, he is duped, he is misled by shaitan, and he begins to go ahead of the imam in the ruku, or in the sujood, and in rising up from it and going down, deceived by shaitan, who wants to cause him what? To destroy his salat, to invalidate his deed. So he goes out of the masjid and he has no salat. He goes out of the masjid, he has no salat. Because there's no salat for the one who doesn't fulfill the rites of the salat. The ruku and the sujood and the standing and the sitting up from it and the khushu'. There's no salat for the person who doesn't fulfill these obligations. And it is also amazing, Al-Imam Ahmed rahimahullah says, that all of these people who fall into this trap of shaitan, they know with certainty that no one of them who is following the imam is going to get out of his salat until the imam ends his salat. All of them are waiting for the imam until he makes taslim, until he says, Salaamu Alaikum wa rahmatullah. Nobody's getting out of the salat. They know this with certainty. Everybody entering that salat, no, they can't leave the salat until the imam finishes. And every one of them, all of them, except illa ma sha Allah. And he accepts those who Allah has favored to protect them from such. All of them are hastening ahead of the imam in the bowing, in the prostration, and in the rising up and going down, having been deceived by shaitan. Thinking lightly of the salat and taking it, yani, easy. Not really knowing, feeling, experiencing, acknowledging, recognizing the seriousness of this matter. We see people every day doing this. They are going ahead of the imam. Going where? You can't go nowhere. Tayyib. The Shaykh, he says here, after this quote from Imam Ahmed, this is from the book Kitab al-Salat by Imam Ahmed. After this quote, he says, the scholars, وَقَدْ ذَهَبَ عُلَمَاءَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ إِسْتِنَادًا إِلَى مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنَ النُّصُوصِ الثَّابِتَ عَنِ الرَّسُولِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَغَيْرِهَا إِلَى أَنَّ تَعْدِيلَ الْأَرْكَانِ فِي الرُّكُوعِ وَالسُّجُودِ وَالْقَوْمَةِ بَيْنَهُمَا وَالْقَعْدَةِ بَيْنَ السَّجْدَتَيْنِ فَرْضٌ فِي الصَّلَاةِ وَرُكْنٌ مِنْ أَرْكَانِهَا تَبْطُلُ الصَّلَاةَ بِتَرْكِهَا وَيَلْزَمُ مَنْ وَقَعَ فِي ذَلِكَ إِعَادَةَ الصَّلَاةِ. That the scholars, many of the scholars, the majority, the jumhur, they hold the view based upon, yani, supporting themselves from what has been preceded, from the confirmed narrations from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and other than what has been mentioned here, they hold the view that ta'dil al-arkan fi ruku wa sujood and so on, yani at-tuma'anina in the pillars of the salat, or the tuma'anina of the jawari. Yani, it appears in this expression that he means by arkan al-jawari. Yani, ta'dil al-arkan fi ruku, yani al-jawari. Yani, being calm, the limbs of the body being calm in a ruku, and in the bowing and the prostration and the standing up, between the bowing and prostration, and in the sitting between two prostrations, that this calmness of the limbs, of the parts of the body, in these positions, without hastening to the next position, to do so, yani to be calm, is fard, obligatory in the salat, and it is an essential pillar from the pillars of the salat, and the salat is invalidated if you abandon this tuma'anina. And you are obligated, the one who does so, to repeat the prayer all over again. And what has been transmitted concerning this, There are many, many transmissions from the scholars, and it is not possible to enumerate them, every one of them, or even a few of them, in this place or in this position at this time. However, we will suffice with the transmission of one from a great noble Imam, Imam Jalil, وَهُوَ الْإِمَامُ الْقَاضِي أَبُو يُوسُفُ رَحِمُهُ اللَّهُ, the student of Al-Imam Abu Hanifa رَحِمُهُمُ اللَّهُ. May Allah have mercy upon both of them. Al-Imam Abu Yusuf, he said, تَعَدِيلْ أَرْكَانِ الصَّلَاةِ وَهُوَ تُمَأَنِّينَ فِي الرُّكُوِ وَالسُّجُودِ وَكَذَا إِتْمَامِ الْقِيَامِ بَيْنَهُمَا وَإِتْمَامِ الْقُعُودِ بَيْنَ السَّجْدَتَيْنِ فَرْضٌ تَبْتُلُ الصَّلَاةُ بِتَرْكِهَا وَقَدْ نَقَلَهُ عَنْهُ غَيْرُ وَاحِدٍ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ. يعني الإمام أبو يوسف, he said that this tuma'anina in the pillars of the salat, it is fard, and the salat is invalidated without it. And the Shaykh, he is يعني interpreting the statement of Imam Abu Yusuf to mean that يعني the ta'adil of arkan al-salat means a tuma'anina, calmness in the ruku, in the bowing and the prostration, and likewise the completion and the perfection of the standing between the bowing and prostration, يعني when you stand up after bowing, and likewise the completion of the sitting, the perfection of the sitting between two prostrations, that a person has to sit up and sit there for a moment. And there's even supplication from the Prophet ﷺ to say in that position, seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and other than that. And we don't care about any of that. Wallahi, if a person was saying, Allahumma gfirli, Rabbi gfirli, Rabbi gfirli, if a person was saying that and understood what they were saying, and they were saying it sincerely, they would be sitting between two prostrations for a while. Because they would be trying to يعني reach down into their heart to say these words from their heart with meaning, so that Allah will indeed forgive them. This is a valuable position to be in, and an opportunity to ask for forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is wasted when people hastily go up and down. Hastily go up and down. Oh Allah, forgive me and have mercy upon me, and guide me and protect me, and make our affairs better. Indeed, this statement has been transmitted from Al-Imam Abu Yusuf rahimahullah, from more than one of the scholars, from many of them. Indeed, the obligation on every Muslim is to guard and protect his salat. Naam. Indeed, that it is obligatory upon every Muslim to guard and protect his salat, and to establish it perfectly in the shurut of the salat, yani the preconditions of the salat, the arkan of the salat, yani the essential pillars in the performance of the salat, without which the salat is invalid, you can't even make up for them, and the wajibat of the salat, the obligatory duties, that if a person missed it, you can make sajda sahu to make up for it. In all of these things, the preconditions of the salat, the essential pillars of the salat, the obligatory duties of the salat, and the sunan of the salat, even, naam, even the sunan of the salat, it is obligatory upon the Muslim to guard these affairs and to perform them completely and perfectly. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Mu'minun, 23rd Surah, 1st and 2nd Ayat, وَقَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. That indeed, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, indeed, definitely, certainly, the believers have attained success. الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins to describe in the following ayats the characteristics of the believers who have attained success. And the first of them and the last of them is in the salat. And the Shaykh here mentions the second ayah, which is the first description after iman, that is, that they observe solemnness and submissiveness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while they are in prayer, al-khushu'. And this khushu' is a very essential aspect of the salat, and inshallah we're going to talk about it in one of the coming, very soon classes, upcoming classes, we're going to talk about khushu' in detail. This is essential. The first characteristic of the believers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions here, of the believers who will be successful, is that they observe al-khushu' in the salat. And after this, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, 2nd Surah, 238th Ayat, hafidhu ala salawati wa salati al-wusta wa qumu lillahi qanitin. God, protect, preserve your prayers, the salawat, and especially as-salatul wusta, salatul asr, especially the middle prayer, the Asr prayer, and stand before Allah with obedience. Naam, in Salat. And the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Ma'un, 107th Surah, 4th and 5th Ayat. فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. So woe to the people who pray, those who pray, they are neglectful or unmindful in their prayers, or they are neglectful and unmindful of the prayers. And we're going to close with this ayah. As the Shaykh mentions, he quotes here concerning this ayat, woe to the people who pray. Not everybody who prays, but who? Those who are unmindful in their prayer, or who are neglectful of their prayer. Yani, we are the people who pray, alhamdulillah. But in what condition? The Shaykh, he closes here by saying, this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warning, wail. As some of the scholars of tafsir said, it is a valley in the hellfire for those who pray, but who are what? Neglectful or unmindful of their prayers. Qala al-Hafiz al-Imam Ibn Kathir rahimahullah fi tafsir hadhihi al-ayah. Al-Imam Ibn Kathir rahimahullah said concerning the explanation of this ayat, the meaning, this statement in this ayat, the meaning of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, an salatihim sahoon. إما عن وقتها الأول فيؤخرونها إلى آخره دائما أو غالبا. يعني the meaning of those who this threat is being directed to, the people who pray, but there's a threat being directed to them of punishment in the hellfire, it is either means that they are delaying. يعني ساهون عن صلاتهم means, يعني they are delaying its time from its beginning. They are delaying it to the end of its time. Daiman or ghaliban. Yani all the time they are delaying it, or most of the time they are delaying it. This is one of the meanings of this ayat. Alladhina hum an salatihim sahoon. One of the meanings is what? The people always delay their prayers. Or most of the time they delay the prayer. They're always late for salat. Ibn Kathir says, this is one of the meanings. Wa imma an adaiha bi arkaniha wa shurutiha عَلَى الْوَجْءَ الْمَأْمُورِ بِهِ. Or the meaning may mean that they are sahun, yani neglectful of the fulfillment of the pillars of the prayer and the shurut of the prayer, fulfilling them in the way that we have been commanded to by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That they are not giving care to the fulfillment of the prayer. They are not bowing properly. They are not prostrating properly. They are not standing properly. They are not sitting up properly. They are not performing the salat with the care that it requires. Or وَأَمَّا عَنْ الْخُشُوعَ فِيهَا وَالتَّدَبُّرُ لِمَعَانِيهَا. Or the meaning is that they are sahun, yani that they are neglectful or unmindful. They are neglectful of al-khushu', observing al-khushu', solemnness, submissiveness, humbleness while they are in the prayer in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the reflection, contemplation of the meanings of what they are saying in prayer. They are not reflecting when they say Allahu Akbar. What does this mean? They are not reflecting when they say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawm al-Din. They are not reflecting on what this means. They are not reflecting when they are saying Iyaka Na'budu Wa Iyaka Nasta'in. What does this mean? Does it have any meaning, or is just we memorize it and we're just saying it? Yani when you are making salah in every rak'ah of every prayer, you have to say Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. What does this mean? Wallahi, what is the meaning of this? Yani when a person is in ruku and they're saying Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. Who is al-Azim? Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. Al-A'la. Who is al-A'la? What does this mean? Who are you talking about? Yani, I declare the perfection of my Rabb. Naam. Who is the Most High, with my forehead on the ground in prostration. Are we reflecting on this? This is one of the meanings, that the person is what? They are performing the prayer without al-khushu'a and without at-tadabbur, reflection or contemplation on the meanings of what we are saying and the positions that we are performing. So this expression in this ayat, yani woe to these people who pray, but they are unmindful or neglectful of their prayer, it includes all of these meanings. Huh? That they are delaying the prayer from its time, or they are not fulfilling, they are not performing the shurut and the arkan and the wajibat of the salat in the way that it has been commanded, or they are not performing the salat with khushu and tadabbur, reflection and contemplation on the meaning of what they are saying and doing. This expression in this ayat, Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir rahimahullah says, includes all of these meanings. So for everyone who is described with one of these meanings, one of these three, then he has a portion, he has a portion of this ayat, yani the threat in this ayat. And whoever is described with all of these meanings, فَقَدْ تَمَّ نَصِيبُهُ مِنْهَا, then he has a complete, full portion of this threat in this ayat. وَكَمُلَ لَهُ النِّفَاقَ الْعَمَلِي, and hypocrisy in actions has been completed in him. Yani, he is not saying that this person is a kafir, but he said النِّفَاقَ الْعَمَلِي, not اعتقادي. النِّفَاقَ الْعَمَلِي, it means the nifaq, the hypocrisy of the person who does the actions of the people of hypocrisy. His actions are like them. And this kind of salah is the action of the people of hypocrisy, not the actions of the people of iman. And the Shaykh, he says, may Allah protect us from that. And may Allah grant us success in acting upon His book and holding fast to the sunnah of His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And may Allah make us of those who establish the salat, and those who complete and perfect the pillars of the salat, and the shurut of the salat, and the wajibat of the salat. And may Allah accept from us our righteous speech and our correct actions. And may He forgive us all whatever has occurred from us of mistakes or shortcomings or slips. Indeed, He is Al-Ghafoor Ar-Rahim. Indeed, He is Al-Ghafoor Ar-Rahim. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.